The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening, emails only, please. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, broadcasting live from Studio 1A of the Beaver Valley Media Group, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you, everyone. Welcome to Down the Garden Path here on our last Monday. It's our last Monday in April. So thank you very much for joining us this evening.
I want to precurse the show really quick. Okay, yes. I apologize to any listeners that are thinking we're going to talk about vertical gardens.
Yes.
That was my fault. That's okay. Not tonight.
That's right.
So sorry.
He was behind in his Twitter feed and he tweeted an old tweet. So that's okay, everyone. Yeah. I think you're going to love the topic for tonight. So you are here listening to Down the Garden Path, where we every week discuss down to earth tips and advice or all things plants, gardens, and landscapes. And as a landscape designer, I think it's important to always have a great garden and always talk about plants and flowers and
That's
always
right.
to, you know, have great guests that I think are going to inspire all of us for our own gardens in some way, shape or form.
Absolutely.
And so this is, I really hope, inspiring. Tonight we are going to talk to Melanie Harrington, who owns and operates Dahlia May Flower Farm, a small, chemical-free, non-certified organic flower farm. Dahlia May specializes in growing romantic, fragrant, heirloom varieties of cut flowers, the kind your grandparents used to grow. Established in 2014, the farm was born out of Melanie's years of experience as a floral designer, greenhouse worker, and gardener. So she knows all the hard work that is involved in that one.
Yeah.
I do as well. With an education in horticulture and floral design and a deep desire to grow and use local, seasonal flowers, she began to farm her own blooms. Melanie was raised by parents who market gardened and has returned to her family's farm and her roots to start Dahlia May Flower Farm. Their sustainably grown flowers are available from May through October, and they are sure to stand out to customers, as Melanie is known for growing unique colors and varieties full of fragrance and character. Falling under the unique and growing group of farmer florists, which is an interesting term, Dahlia May Flower Farm offers floral design services, wedding designs, in addition to the mixed bouquets and individual stems that they sell at the local farmer markets. Melanie subscribes to the thought that flowers are food for the soul and finds real joy in sharing her passion with local flower-loving customers. Welcome to the show, Melanie. I'm good, thank you. And I would agree, I would substitute, you say flowers and I say gardens, but
yes.
Really it's all about that. It's very similar,
yes.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
There's nothing like coming home or looking out a window at a great garden.
It's so satisfying, and nothing like being able to pick flowers right out of your garden to put on your own table.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and that was quite a bio. So you're kind of new at this, 2014.
I am very new at it. I feel new. I feel like I make lots of mistakes and learn from them that way, which is one of the most exciting parts.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I just wondered, I mentioned in your bio, you mentioned your parents were market gardeners. So can you explain that term? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Absolutely. So a market garden is a relatively small-scale production of a crop, such as vegetables or as flowers, and it's sold directly to the customer. So when we market garden, we grow the crops, and then we bring them directly to the farmer's market. So when you buy from the farmer's market, generally you're speaking to the farmer who grew all of the crops.
Okay.
So it sort of breaks down the traditional barriers between the farmers that grow product and the people that are buying them. It's a way for customers to buy straight from the farmer.
Excellent. Now, that is kind of an in thing right now. I know farmers markets are kind of popping up all over the suburbs where I am.
Yes.
So that's something you grew up with your parents doing.
It is. I was very fortunate. When I was young, my parents vended at our local farmers market in Trenton, where we live. And I remember as a child going to the farmers market and helping my parents sell their vegetables and sell their flowers and helping my father pick the blooms that we sold at the farmers market. So we have a history of doing it, and it's something I'm so happy to be back involved in.
Wow, so you come full circle.
Yes, absolutely.
And what do your parents think of what you've accomplished?
They are extremely proud. My father's passed away, and a lot of what I do is in his memory, actually. My father and I shared so many incredible memories in the garden growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy to be able to come back and farm the land that my parents were actually farming about 25 years ago. We live on the same plot now, my husband and I, and we're farming the same plot, and we're vending at the same farmer's market that my parents used to sell at.
Wow.
So my mom is still with me, and I think she's incredibly excited to see what we're doing.
Yeah, and just to see the whole concept that they were doing is now kind of an in thing or a really positive thing.
It is, and it's been wonderful for me to see the local market grow now that farmers markets are starting to become a bit more of a trend. Our local farmers market has grown so much in the last few years, which is just great for the community.
Wow, that is great. Oh, I think it's a really positive thing. Mm-hmm. And flowers, so we're talking about flowers. So you went from growing up there and then you went on to be a floral designer.
I did. I grew up on the farm, and in high school, I obtained a co-op position at a local greenhouse, and I absolutely loved it. I ended up working full-time at the local greenhouse after my co-op position was over, and I have a background in art in high school.
Okay.
So the two sort of naturally combined. I loved flowers growing up. I enjoyed art in high school. And I absolutely love the growing aspects of working at the greenhouse. So they all combined organically.
Yeah.
Myself becoming a florist.
Oh, that's great. And you, well, starting off in a greenhouse, and you definitely were prepared for the hard work.
Yes.
You know, because I think everybody, I know I worked at a flower shop for several years, not as a designer. I was just, you know, one of the helper people.
Yes.
And people would always say, oh, it must be so lovely to work with flowers all day. And it's like, yes, it is lovely. But all those flowers come in very heavy buckets of water.
Yes.
So it's a lot of work.
It is. I've heard it very many times when I was working at the flower shop.
Yeah.
Many folks would say that they'd love to work at a flower shop when they retired.
Oh, yes.
Not realizing that it is an intensive job.
Yeah.
It's a job where you're on your feet all day. You're carrying the heavy buckets of water, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it can be demanding.
Absolutely. Washing those buckets, they have to be clean, right? So not only are you, you know, having to look after the flowers, but cleanliness to keep the flowers fresh.
That's right.
You know,
and that's the job that nobody wants.
Absolutely.
To get stuck at the back sink washing all of the buckets.
Absolutely. So that was one of my jobs. You know,
you had
the little thing and the little,
I've done it many times.
So I'm sure our listeners, you know, will probably all say they thought that at some point too, that it would be so lovely every time they've walked into a flower shop that it'd be so lovely to work there.
And it is lovely.
And it is lovely, for sure. Selling people flowers, regardless of the occasion, the happy ones or the sad ones, it is a lovely place to work and to help people pick flowers for those occasions. There is a lot of work behind the scenes. So I definitely admire you and brave to go from that to make the leap to farming.
Yes. Thank you.
And so was there any particular thing that just kind of had you decide, you know, that you, when you wanted to go on with the floral design to kind of turn and look at growing your own flowers?
I had been working for years as a floral designer, and my father passed away quite unexpectedly.
Okay.
And it just made me realize that I needed a change for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what I had been doing at flower shops was becoming quite formulaic and less creative. And I was just looking for a change. I wanted to get back to the roots of why flowers meant so much to me. I was just finding that I was seeing flowers become so much of a commodity.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get back to the root of what it was that really captured me about flowers. And I remembered all of those special moments with my father growing up in the garden where we were growing things together. And I thought it would be a good time to just take a step back and get back to my roots. Also, I was looking for a different variety of flowers. I was growing a bit tired of roses and carnations and chrysanthemums, which are all lovely.
Yes.
But I was just looking for a little bit more variety in what I used for a product and what I designed with.
Wow. So, and not a lot of options out there.
Correct.
Yeah.
There were options, but they were shipped from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having a bit of a hard time with it. I was just wanting to get more back to using local product, to following the seasons a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I was finding that many of the requests that we were getting, including bridal requests, were for flowers that were quite often out of season, and people weren't understanding that those blooms, even if they could be sought out, were coming from different parts of the world. So I was just looking to focus more on what we have to offer locally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the wedding bouquets of peonies for the October weddings?
Yes, or the August wedding.
Yes.
We have many requests for those. And so it's just been educating customers that maybe peonies aren't the best option in August, even if they can be brought in from Alaska. Maybe choosing garden roses or something really beautiful like that that's in season is a bit of a better choice.
Yeah, definitely. And have you found the response? How have you found the response?
The response has been incredible. And it's surprised me how much the response is picking up to local blooms. It does help that farmers markets have become more popular. And I have found that many of my customers find me at the farmers market.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And so then when they get to see your bouquets that you've created, they get to know you that way.
That's right. What we do at the farmer's market as a farmer florist is a little bit different from what other vendors offer. We have many vegetable growers at our farmer's market who do grow bunches of flowers as well. So what we do to differentiate ourselves is we grow beautiful mixed bouquets. We have a whole variety of flowers. And every week we arrange all of those flowers ahead of time into beautiful bouquets and bring them to the farmer's market. So if you're looking for something that's a gift to bring to someone, a stand like mine would be a perfect option. So our brides are seeing our flowers arranged, and they're enjoying what they see, and they're keeping us in mind for wedding work.
Wonderful. And telling their friends and so on and so on, right?
Yes, and connecting with us on social media.
Yes, your Instagram and your website. I have that in my notes for later to talk about your website, because I hope our listeners have a chance to take a look.
Yes,
because it's beautiful. The photos are just wonderful. So you've done a very good job of designing a very effective website.
Wonderful.
So do you grow? So I want to talk a little bit about the flowers that you grow. So you go by the seasons. So are you growing them? Are you starting them in a greenhouse from seed? Are you planting like perennial plants? Obviously, there must be some of that.
We're doing a little bit of both.
Okay.
So because I am new at flower farming, I don't have a lot of the infrastructure that I would love. I don't have a greenhouse.
Okay.
I have serious greenhouse envy of all of my friends that have them, but I don't have one.
Yet,
so
I'm sure.
So we start most of what we do by seed.
Okay.
And we start it all in our house. It's quite primitive. I've turned our downstairs bathroom into a little grow room. We have racks. We have grow lights. And most of what we grow is started there.
Excellent.
By seed and then brought outside to harden off.
Okay.
We plant bulbs as well in the fall so that we have beautiful tulips and daffodils and alliums in the spring. We plant plant perennials as well. Many of those we've started by seed.
Okay.
So that we'll have crops in the summer.
Excellent. Excellent. And really, I know we've had other guests on the show that talk about the starting the seeds inside. And if you're creative with your space, you really can get a lot in a small space.
You can, yeah. Absolutely. It's just a matter of being innovative. Mm-hmm. And we have, in our downstairs bathroom right now, we probably have several thousand seedlings started. Wow. So it's amazing what you can do if yeah. you just have a little bit of creativity with it.
Yeah. Now, do you have help? Because now that's the work begins once those start to go, like to grow a little bit, and then you need to harden them off and then plant them.
Yes, and we have many things hardening off outside, although with today's snow.
Oh, did you have
night,
snow?
Everything yeah. was brought back into our house.
Oh, goodness. Yes, it was quite, we didn't get snow here in Durham, but it was okay. quite cool.
We
for
had
sure.
snow this morning.
Oh, boy. So it really slows things down, doesn't it?
It does, and it's another thing that gives me serious greenhouse envy.
That's right, that's right. Well, it's just challenging, I mean, even as a landscape designer, because, you know, the phone starts to ring because people get outside, you know, a nice couple of days, and they get outside, and they're like, oh, I need help with my garden. And then we get three more days of cold weather, and they forget all about that, you know? So
yes, of course. Yeah. It's so true. Last week, we had days that were 20 degrees.
I know.
And everyone was outside, and everyone was wanting to plant.
Yeah.
Not knowing that, I mean, today we had frost.
I know. Because people are like emailing me questions. I'm like, no, it's too soon. Like, I know it was a nice day on Monday, but it's still too soon.
It's very hard to be patient in Ontario.
Is.
Last year we had, in the Quinte area, we had a hard frost right on May 24th weekend.
Wow.
And we'd had a beautiful May and so many people had planted already. So it's very hard to be patient
for
in
sure.
gardening.
And how did you turn out? Were you okay?
I was. Excellent. Was feeling very behind the game because I hadn't planted anything. And everyone else was planting, including some of my farming friends.
Okay.
So I was feeling so behind the game. And then we had this frost, and I didn't lose anything because I didn't plant everything. So all of a sudden, I was ahead of the game.
Excellent. Well,
so it's
you never
amazing
know.
How nature works out like that sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And from your first planting in 2014 to like this planting, how's the space grown or the varieties grown?
Both have grown quite a bit. Our first year was last year, and we were farming on just under half of an acre. We had some perennials in, and we had mainly annual crops.
Okay.
So this year, we're taking on a full acre. We have had to expand because, wonderfully, we've had so much demand for local flowers.
Wonderful.
Our farmers market customers have really connected with us and with buying local flowers, and our wedding demand has been up this year. So we'll be farming on an acre this year, split amongst three different plots that I have.
Okay.
And varieties have increased greatly as well, just based on customer feedback of what our customers are looking for.
Wonderful. And what types of things are they looking for?
Many people are looking for beautiful flowers like dahlias for weddings. We're getting quite a bit of requests for wedding work. So people are looking for unusual things that they wouldn't be able to buy in traditional shops, so fresh dahlias, beautiful cosmos, different foliages like scented geraniums and herbs for using in weddings, just product that's not traditionally available that I fortunately have the opportunity to grow.
Wow, that is neat. I never thought of herbs.
We use quite a few herbs. We use basil, we use sage. Quite a few different varieties, lemon balm, mints, which is really wonderful. It just adds a scented element to a bouquet as well.
Definitely, because you certainly are handling it a lot. I mean, I could see everybody really enjoying that because, you know, you're picking it up, you're carrying it around, you're putting it down, you're picking them up, you know.
That's right.
The
bouquet. They end up on your kitchen table. They're sitting on your table for a week. It's wonderful to have something like that. And it's fun for me to incorporate different elements. We'll put mint in a bouquet, And the customers can root that mint.
Yes.
On their own later and have something to keep.
Yes. So. Hopefully not in their garden, though, Melanie.
No, please.
Okay. Do you tell your you have to tell your customers they need to put them in containers only.
I do.
Because they will not like you, Melanie, when their garden in 2 years is.
Unless they really love mint.
No, there's nobody that likes mint that much. There really isn't.
I know. I agree.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of knowing all of these different little things.
That's right. That's right. It is a learning experience.
Yes.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you more, especially about the weddings. So why don't we pause for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with Melanie Harrington from Delia May Flower Farm.
Welcome to One Love Caribbean Groceries and African Foods, located at 595 King Street East, Wilson and King Street in Oshawa. They carry a wide variety of delicious tropical fruits, vegetables, spices, halal meats, fresh fish, fresh roti, patties, cosmetics, and much, much more. Their friendly staff will be happy to serve you with all your West Indian grocery needs. One Love Caribbean Groceries, located at 595 King Street East, just a few steps east of Wilton on King Street in Oshawa. Their telephone number is 905-440-4632. That's 905-440-4632.
Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
Come on. A sunny day.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, send her an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, boogieing in Studio 1A, back to Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. And we are back here with Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for joining us this evening. And we are with my guest, Melanie Harrington, from the Delia May Flower Farm. I love the name.
Thank you.
Is that one of your favorite flowers? Is that?
It is one of my favorite flowers, and it has special meaning for me as well. My father used to always call my mother by the names of different flowers that we grew. And one of his favorite names to call my mother was Delia.
Oh, lovely.
So after he passed away, I was looking for a way to include my family in my business. So Delia honors the name that my father called my mother, and May was my grandmother's middle name, and I farm on my grandmother's property as well.
Oh, wonderful. Well,
so
that's lovely.
A special way to include my family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you have so much history there on the land, so it's appropriate to honor that with the name as well. So lovely. But now your farm is not your typical flower shop. Like, we can't drive up to the farm and pick our flowers ourselves or...
Correct.
So why don't you tell us a little bit how you operate?
How we operate is we focus primarily on selling our blooms at the farmers markets. So we vend at 3 farmers markets a week. We vend in Quinte West, where we are located just outside of, on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And then we vend in Codrington near Brighton every Sunday. And that's the best place for our customers to connect to us. But we've also had quite a bit of demand for a farm stand and for customers to come out to the farm. It's hard for me to connect with customers at the farm because I am a one-person operation, so I have to take care of all of the work that needs to be done when I'm not at the market.
Yeah.
So this past year, we set up a self-serve farm stand.
Okay.
So our customers are able to drive by chance or appointment, and we have a farm stand on our property that they can purchase from. We do quite a few of our orders through social media as well. Many times our customers will connect with us on Facebook or send us a message, and we're able to arrange flowers at the drop of a hat for folks to pick up.
Wonderful.
We deliver in the Quinte area as well.
Okay.
And our flexibility of not being your traditional flower shop allows us to do things at times often that are more convenient for customers. We've had customers meet us out at the farm at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and we're able to make that work for them.
Wow.
As well as accommodate early mornings.
But that's a lot of work.
It is.
Yes, yes. Because, you're always, again, it goes back to when you're a sole proprietor, when you're on your own, you know, yes, there's a positive part of that, but I know over time it's challenging as well. So good for you.
Thank you.
And I think the farm stand.
I find it easier to connect at the farmer's market because when I'm not at the farmer's market, I'm finding that I have the whole week's worth of farm chores that I'm missing while I'm at the market to catch up on when I'm at the farm, and all of the harvesting and preparing the bouquets and loading the trucks and the weeding and the watering and all of the paperwork, which I can be neglectful of.
Absolutely. And that's a part that people, I know I've had friends say that to me as well, because they're like, you know, you're not just a landscape designer. Like, you've got you've got the website, and you've got your social media, and you've got, you know, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, by the time I get to actually sit at the computer and design someone's garden is, you know, those are the hard times, right, to find, eke out doing that, you know, because so much of the other paperwork and other stuff can easily fill the space. So
yes, I find that very hard to balance as well. Mm-hmm. We often have so many email requests, and it's a constant challenge for me to prioritize sitting at my desk and replying to everything versus knowing in the back of my head that I need to seed my flowers, because if I don't seed them, then I don't have flowers
in
the summer.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you answer their questions, right? Because you're not going to have any flowers.
No, that's right. So I find it to be a constant balancing act, trying to take care of the paperwork end and the social media end versus being the only person available to do all of the grunt work and make it all happen.
Well, my 2 cents is schedule. Like, I literally have to schedule, you know, so, you know, this social media, answer emails in this hour. Like, I kind of have to break up my day into these little hours, and my phone, like, we can hear your phone reminding you of something. We can hear, you know, my phone reminds me, okay, in 10 minutes, you're supposed to be doing this. And I don't know how I do it. I mean, it's still not perfect, but it's the only thing that can keep me on track. Because even sometimes if I even, let's say, put an hour or 2 hours down to do a design, if you're in the flow, like, you know, you're in the flow, and it's like,
you
my gosh,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I've got, you know, because I have a family to feed too. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I guess I got to start dinner, you know, or, you know, you get in a zone type of thing, and it's like, oh, I've got an appointment, or I've got, you know, so it can be quite challenging being a solo entrepreneur, and especially, but I think it's when we love what we do, right?
Yes, it makes it worth it, for sure.
Yeah.
I run my life off of lists as well. I start every morning with a list, and I get great satisfaction in being able to physically cross something off of the list.
Yes, I was like that too, but now I'm finding I need that list to talk to me. So that's where I made that transition to Google Calendar, because I, unfortunately, if you don't, you know, if you don't cross it off, it doesn't call you to say, hey, cross me off, right?
That's right.
So
technology is a great tool.
Definitely. And I love the market stand idea. Now, is it kind of honor system?
It is honor system.
Excellent.
We have a cash box out. We leave a float for folks to make change. And we leave signs with all of the pricing, and we hope for the best.
Yes.
And I've just been really heartwarmed by how fantastic our customers have been that way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The honor system has worked really well for us. It's been very supported by our customers.
Oh, that's great. When I first started gardening, when I first bought our first house, mm-hmm. there was a place just north of us that had, and it wasn't flowers, but it was plants. So I think she had a large property with lots of perennials, and every spring she would divide all her perennials and set them up on this little shelving unit at the front of her home. And same thing, there was like a coffee can, and you kind of took plants and hostas and different things and left money in the can. And a lot of my first plant shopping was there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, because I didn't feel confident enough to go to a nursery yet, you know. And I figured if these were growing for her, then maybe they might grow for me, you know.
Yes.
And that kind of, so yeah, I think it's a wonderful way to do business. So
it's one of the perks of living in the country as
Absolutely.
Well. I have a friend who lives in Toronto who is just astounded at the thought of leaving a cash box out unattended with a sign with pricing. They couldn't believe it because it wouldn't be an option in a city.
No, it were, unfortunately.
And we're very fortunate that we're very community supported.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad that that's the case. And I'm sure there's always exceptions to the rule and stuff. I heard there's even a pie person out in my area in the country that just a little north of us that leaves, they do that with their pies.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. It's kind of an honor system type of thing too. I think mostly in the fall when it's not too hot. I don't think they do it in the summer when it's hot. But so there are a few exceptions to the rules. But and I think it's great that your clients have been. We were talking a bit about the farm. So now, do you have a shop at all? So you've got the market, and then you're a farm. So there's nobody visiting you. Now, what about for wedding appointments?
For wedding appointments, so we don't have a shop at all. We just have a working farm.
Okay.
We have a little design studio on our farm that we work out of, and sometimes we will make appointments on farm, but it is hard to make appointments mm-hmm. on farm because there are so many distractions and so much work that needs to happen. So we just meet our clients typically in coffee shops.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
It gets me out for a couple of hours. It gives me that breather off of the farm where I don't feel all of the other jobs nagging at me. And it's just a quiet place to be able to talk to brides.
Oh, for sure. And do you come with, ideas to give them? Or are you really listening, take that opportunity to listen to what the bride is looking for? And then, because they might have something in mind, but not knowing the flowers, right?
Correct. What we do is we bring with us a little portfolio that has pictures of our work. Many of the times our brides have already checked us out on social media.
Right.
They've been on our website or our Instagram and have a fair idea of what we do. So often what I ask brides to do is bring with them their Pinterest board ideas.
Oh, yes.
And Pinterest has been a wonderful tool mm-hmm. in planning weddings. Because before, brides would try to describe the look they mm-hmm. wanted, but perhaps they didn't know the names of the flowers.
Yeah.
We've really adopted Pinterest into our business because our brides are able to show us exactly what they're looking for. And then many times we will do a joint board with our brides when we're working with them. Then when I have new ideas, I can pin ideas directly to their board. They can send me pictures through Pinterest.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you know what? I'm doing the exact same thing with garden design, Melanie.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's a great tool.
Yeah, it has really been a great tool. I've used it a little bit more this year than in past, although it's just getting started.
Yes.
But yeah, so I can, I can post pictures of what I think that they're looking for, and then they can comment on that, or they can show me what they're looking for.
Yes.
And you know, it's a way to be honest and say, well, you know, really that picture was, you know, from South Carolina and I can't do, you know, I can't help you kind of thing.
Yes.
And how about this type of thing? So it's really been I think because it is so visual, it is a wonderful way. And what we do is visual, so communicating in email only gets you so far, right?
Correct. It's been a great tool in a visual business.
Definitely.
Absolutely. It's a double-edged sword in a way because sometimes it will set some unrealistic mm-hmm. expectations, like you were mentioning, of customers posting pictures from Carolina.
Yep.
We find the same in weddings. We will have brides that are looking to do DIY flowers, and they will have pictures on Pinterest. But many of the times they're from these styled shoots, and Pinterest makes it look very easy to DIY so many different things.
Yeah.
that sometimes we don't realize that these were styled shoots set up by professionals or that the flowers may be out of season.
That's
but
right.
It's great to have that visual back
for
and
sure.
forth with the customer.
Yeah, because it does. It opens up the dialogue.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I know Pinterest would have a lot of flowers that look really great, you know, sitting on that table in the photograph, but, carried in a bouquet for a day on a hot day in the summer, they're not going to really do so well.
Correct.
You know, so that opens up that dialogue for you to explain to to clients.
It does.
Now, how do you find wildflowers hold up, like your flowers?
Our flowers hold up extremely well because we were able to cut them fresh.
Ah.
So the advantage we have of growing most of our product on our farm is when brides are being married on a Saturday, we will be harvesting the flowers on a Thursday or a Friday. So everything is extremely fresh. And with a background in working in flower shops, I apply all of the same care routines to the fresh flowers.
Okay.
So they're all processed in the same way that they would be in a flower shop. We still do all of the bucket cleaning. The jobs that I didn't like doing at
yes.
the flower shop are all my jobs now.
Oh, yes.
So we clean and sanitize all of our buckets. We use fresh water. We use the floral preservatives that make the flowers last longer.
Yeah.
We adopt all of those techniques. But really, it comes down to just harvesting our flowers fresh.
Yeah. And that's incredible because knowing from traditional flower shops that, you know, when the flower delivery comes, those flowers were picked, you know, who knows how long ago, right? And then they've shipped.
Yes.
And
they've been picked sometimes quite a long time ago. And then they've made the plane ride.
That's right.
Oftentimes out of water.
Yeah.
And then they do need to be reconditioned.
Yeah.
We're so fortunate in growing so much of our product that our flowers can be harvested on a Friday morning for a Saturday wedding.
Wow.
So the product doesn't get any fresher. Therefore, I'm very confident for my clients that it will last.
Wow, that is great. And so are you seeing that the wedding flower side of your business is growing?
It is growing, and it's growing faster than I expected it would. I've been very fortunate. Many people have heard about us at farmers markets, and we've had wonderful referrals from past brides. And also, I think there's just been so much more talk about local flowers mm-hmm. and shopping locally and farmers markets and local products that brides are starting to seek this out.
Yes.
Which is just wonderful.
Yeah, no, it definitely. And I think social media, actually, it seems odd that something so new and modern like social media would bring back something of the past, you know, tradition. But I think it really has because
yes.
I think it is, it's a visual, for instance, and it's just a faster way for people to find information and find where their local farmers market is and hear about the products that and I think all the health benefits as well. So I think it trickles. There's a lot of trickle there, you know, all the different concerns people have with how their food is grown.
Yes.
And where the food comes from and how fresh it is, right?
Yes.
And the pesticides and herbicides being used to, you know, growing, getting food locally, as well as to support the local economy. And I think that, so there's kind of all the different little spokes in that wheel, right? And
absolutely.
I think for flowers, too, they want to support the local grower.
Absolutely. And the wonderful thing about social media is that it really does put the spotlight on local products and on the local business owners. So I'm finding that my customers that follow me on social media, they know the person that they're buying from.
Yeah.
It's not a big box store. It's not a nameless, faceless person. They know that they're buying from a local girl just outside of Trenton who is growing her product.
Right.
And it's been a really great way to build relationships with people.
Yes. Yeah, that is wonderful. Wow. Well, there's so much more to talk about, Melanie. Time is flying, but we will pause for one more commercial break, and we'll be right back to chat some more about the Dahlia May Flower Farm here on Reality Radio 101.
J.
Jackie's Critters and Things is your reptile destination for unique reptiles and reptilian supplies. Come visit Jackie, affectionately known as the Dragon Lady of Bowmanville, at her one-of-a-kind reptilian store. Learn about reptiles, their care, and find out more about the reptilian world. Browse the wide selection of livestock, including lizards, snakes, and other reptiles. Find premium feeder supplies, sure to satisfy your reptile's appetite, including crickets, silkworms, waxworms, superworms, and much, much more. Please check out the wide stock of supplies that will help you house and care for your reptile. Jackie's Critters and Things is conveniently located at 116 King Street West in Bowmanville, Ontario. For more information, please contact Jackie at 905-419-2006. That's 905-419-2006. Or go to Jackie's website at www.jackiescritters.synthesite.com. Remember, Jackie's Critters and Things, for all of your reptilian needs. Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the Comic Doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the Comic Doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission agent. Let us take the guesswork out of submitting your comics to the CGC for grading. Make an appointment with the Comic Doctor today. Check us out online at thecomicdoctor.com. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with Joanne Shaw right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, we know you're listening. Send her an email. That's right, in studio 101 at gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome back. And you're listening to Down the Garden Path, and I'm here with, and I'll use your title of Farmer Florist, Melanie, with the Delia May Flower Farm. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So when we talk a little bit more about the wedding booking, so after you meet with a client, I guess, you know, nobody's getting married, you know, next weekend. You know, they're coming to you far enough in advance.
Yes. And it's a fine line for our business as to how far in advance. Mm. We do ask that our customers come to us in advance because we do tend to book up quickly as we've gotten busier. However, what I'm finding is I'm only able to think 1 year at a time.
Right.
We have many brides that are contacting us for weddings next June and next July.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful that our brides are so excited. What I find is it's enough hard work to manage 1 year's worth of weddings and consultations and appointments, as well as all of our farm work and everything. I'm just not able to think a second year in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can see that too. I mean, and there's so many variables with weather. I guess it depends on when their wedding is too. Like, there's a lot of variables there.
Very much so. There's so many unknown factors that we deal with when we're farming our blooms.
And how are the clients? Are they understanding of that?
Our brides are wonderful.
Excellent.
Typically, the brides that connect to us understand the importance of the seasonal flower movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what we often do when we work with brides is we're looking to sell more of a color and a feel to a wedding, not specifically certain flowers. When we have brides who are looking for blooms, an exact flower to be blooming on an exact date, I'm not able to offer that because I just don't know with the weather, with crop failures, whether it will be possible.
Right.
So brides that are looking for that are perhaps better suited to traditional florists.
Yeah.
What we can offer is a beautiful color palette and excellent product And the brides that we work with typically understand that we have the ability to choose the very best of what's in bloom on our farm during the week of their wedding.
Excellent.
So fortunately, the brides that have been connecting with us are flexible.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
good.
Which
is really great. Then we're able to work with them on their vision.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad that you're able to explain that also on the show, because I think it's kind of a new industry, and it's kind of, you've thought outside the box a little bit.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a learning curve. And
absolutely,
the more we can educate, you know, the future clients or, you know, future customers, the better.
Absolutely. Yes, it is new. And it's not something that many people connect to, knowing what is perhaps in season.
Mm-hmm.
As we were speaking of earlier, whether peonies are available in August or whether they're available in June, sometimes people just don't know, and that's okay. That's our job as the farmer florist, to be able to educate folks as to what is in bloom and what's really spectacular on their wedding date. So oftentimes we're able to suggest flowers and blooms that brides may not have thought about that we know are really spectacular on our farm at that time.
Yeah, that's important too, that they come with a bit of an open mind and trust the expert, you know?
Yes.
Because I think that, you know, even with garden design, you know, they need to trust, you know, sometimes I have clients that, you know, want a picture of every single thing or want to, you know, and want to look it up and read more about it. And sometimes it's like too much information can not be a good thing sometimes. You just need to trust that I know that this is the right plant for the right spot.
And that's such a big part of it, of course. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Now, have you thought of, so you mentioned annuals and perennials.
Yes.
Do you even try to grow peonies?
We do.
Okay.
Peonies are a passion flower of mine.
Uh-huh.
When I was married 5 years ago, I was married in June so that I could have peonies in my wedding bouquet. I knew that peonies were what I wanted, and I was fortunate enough to marry a man who would put up with getting married in June solely for the reason of having peonies.
Well, that's good.
So we plant our crops ahead. Last fall, we put in 125 peony bushes.
Wow.
And the hardest part that I find about the farming is being patient. We put all of those peonies in, but we're not able to harvest blooms off of them for 3 years.
Yeah.
The peonies need to focus on growing their roots.
Yep.
So it's a matter of thinking ahead so many times.
Yeah, for sure.
In farming. So things like peonies this year, we'll be putting in another 500.
Oh, okay.
Because we know that our business is growing.
Excellent.
We need to anticipate that 3 years down the road, we may need that much product.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Now, my favorite, so I do love peony, and most people do, that when I go to their garden, that certainly is one. Although many people are kind of disappointed that, you know, one rainstorm and there goes the peony.
And they topple.
Yeah. But my absolute favorite are hydrangeas.
Oh, I love hydrangeas.
Yeah. So that would be something a little sturdier and a little hardier. And I could see the August, you know, that's a bonus for the August and September weddings.
It is, and we put in many hydrangea bushes last year.
Excellent.
As well. They're another flower that I absolutely love. So many of those old garden favorites.
Yes. Yes. Limelight, are you growing a particular one?
I put in Limelight.
Excellent.
Yes, that's one of the best ones as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think so too. And especially my challenge is they can sometimes outgrow the your typical average size yard because they do get quite substantial.
Yes.
They've come out with little lime, which I've been using a lot more in smaller spaces.
I noticed that at the garden center last summer. I've never planted it myself, but I noticed that they had came out with a plant.
Yeah, and it's good, and it's just as good. It just only stays 3 feet by 3 feet, so it wouldn't really serve you necessarily.
No. Bigger is better.
Yes,
for
sure. And I know because I have three large, fairly mature limelights in my front yard, and then I designed for a friend a few years ago as well, and she has two in hers, and we pretty much supply our neighborhood with, like, our girlfriends just walk. They all know now. They have to take from the back, but they all know in August and September and October they can come and clip our hydrangea bushes and bring them in, their blooms into the house.
Oh, that's my dream.
Yes.
I always am hoping that I will have friends that have beautiful things like that in their gardens.
So we definitely have gotten to that point now where they we can kind of sustain everybody.
Yes.
So I know that those limelights will do well for you because they really do produce, and the, just the size that you can actually let them go, right? You've spaced
yes,
them,
I
and
do.
You know, so that that's going to be wonderful. Just
the more
to be
I
able
think
to
about them, the more I think about needing to plant more of them this year. Seems we can never have enough hydrangea.
Yes, for sure, for yeah. sure. And I think that one is the better one to go. I love all the others, and I have a few different varieties in my garden that I like, and I test them before I really start using them in people's gardens. And I love my oak leaf hydrangea, but it doesn't bloom for me consistently.
Yes.
And the foliage is provides such a great color to the garden, so I keep it around.
Yes.
But the name has escaped me, but I was just looking at pictures today that I planted a new variety of small ones that the foliage goes red.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and the name is gone from my head, but because I was looking at the fall picture, so it didn't really flower much last year, but the foliage did go red, so I was pretty happy with that. So yeah, so any other shrubs that you find that you use or that you've thought of?
We have incorporated a lot of nine bark foliage into our farm because it's beautiful for arrangements.
Excellent.
I've planted some smoke bush, and that's another one that I would love to plant more of.
Okay.
And viburnum is one of my favorites. I can never get enough of the viburnum that has the little green balls that turn white.
But tricky. That one's tricky, though, right? Because of insects.
It is, and it's slow growing.
Yeah.
I have a couple on my property that I planted about 10 years ago, and finally they're about 10 feet tall.
Wow.
And I cut everything I can off of them.
Yeah.
But, boy, that took a while.
Yeah.
It's, again, that having that patience.
Yes, for sure. How about elders? Any of the, like I think of the, for foliage mostly, you know, the, are you familiar with the cut-leaf green, it's a gold elder?
I am familiar with it. I haven't planted any of them yet.
Okay.
They are beautiful for foliage.
I mean, the color is beautiful. I don't know how well it would cut and hold up in a bouquet, but I know it's quite a... same with the burgundy one as well, the black lace elder.
Yes, I used to have that plant in my garden. It's a beautiful one as well.
Well, once we get talking about plants, there's so many to choose from, right?
I know. It's so wonderful to be able to run out into the garden and
snip
things like the foliages to be using with flowers.
Absolutely. So what is your favorite flower? I mean, you mentioned peony is your own personal flower, but what's the one that you like designing and you think that just, you know, is always a surprise, kind of an out-of-the-box type of flower?
I love the dahlias myself.
Yes. Okay.
They're absolutely beautiful. They don't bloom until August and September on our farm, so it's always a waiting game. But then they're just such big, beautiful flowers. There's almost a fleeting beauty about them as well. They're not a flower that ships well at a flower shop.
Mm.
They're not a flower that lasts a very long time as a cut, but they are just so beautiful, and there's so many different varieties to use.
Yeah.
So there's something that I really enjoy using in bridal bouquets. And there's something our farmers market customers love as well.
Wow, and they are very unique for sure. There's lots of different types.
We bought a few too many tubers this winter. I was left alone in my office in January, and I ordered 900 tubers.
Wow.
So we'll be growing a really beautiful selection.
And now do you lift those and bring them in?
I do,
Do. Wow, that's a lot of work.
It is.
Do you sleep, Melanie?
It's
do
easy
you...
to look at all of those beautiful catalogs in January when we're craving color.
Yeah.
And it's easy to order these things. And now I think of all of the work of planting it and more so the work of digging them and dividing them in the fall.
Wow. But, well, I'm beginning to wonder if you sleep.
Not often this time of year.
Yes.
I always say that January is for hibernating.
Or for ordering dahlia balls.
Yes.
Is there anything else as we wrap up? Is there anything else you'd like to promote or kind of share with our listeners?
I just love to remind the listeners to venture out to their local farmers markets. I'm sure many of them already do. There are so many great hidden treasures at these markets and local growers, and it's always so wonderful to actually be able to speak to the person who is growing, whether it's your produce or your flowers.
Mm.
One of my favorite things about vending at the farmer's market is when my customers buy from me, they're buying from the person who planted the seed and the person who harvested the bloom. So there's that knowledge base that customers are able to tap into. So we'd love to have more folks headed out to these markets and shopping locally.
Wonderful. I think that is wonderful. And to really look into that in your area, because I know we have listeners from all over.
Yes.
But if you're in Melanie's area, then please check her out. Also on social media. So you are on Instagram.
We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. And we have a lovely website that
yes.
you mentioned earlier.
Yes. And what's their website name?
It's DahliaMayFlowerFarm.com.
Excellent. Nice and simple. Yeah. And it is beautiful. And all the links to, and also we can't forget Pinterest. So your Instagram,
yes,
your Facebook.
We are on Pinterest as
yeah,
well.
Definitely. And Pinterest for all your ideas. And I thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you,
Melanie.
Joanne. The time went so quickly.
Didn't it? I told you, it just time flies when you're having fun. What
Absolutely.
Can you say? And it's been lovely to talk to you as well. And if I'm out in your neck of the woods, I will definitely meet you for coffee, if you have time, not to talk
Wonderful.
About weddings.
I make time
but,
for
that's
these
right.
Things.
But,
and if I'm in your neck of the woods, I'll be stopping and looking at those hydrangeas.
Oh, yes, please do. And I'd always love to commiserate with owners of their business and what works and what doesn't work and kind of share ideas. So
Wonderful.
I'm always there if you need me to. So thank you very much for joining us.
Wonderful.
This
thank
evening.
You for the time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. I hope you're inspired to visit your local farmers markets. They're not going to start up again for probably another month or so. But I never thought of it going for flowers.
You know, she's got quite the entrepreneurship thing going.
She does.
You know, and then, you know, I was on her website while during the show. First of all, if she's still listening, no offense, she looks like a little kid.
She's young.
Doesn't she look like when I first saw her
that's
pictures?
That's where she has the energy, Gary, to do all the stuff that she's doing.
I wanted to know how old she was, and that's
okay.
a bad question to
yes,
ask.
Yes,
you
can't ask that.
But the point is, you look at the pictures of the beautiful flowers she has,
yes.
and she's holding them, and I actually thought that was just like she got a little girl or her daughter or somebody
yes.
to hold them.
Yeah.
But that's her.
That's her.
She looks like she's 11.
Oh, well, I'm sure. Hopefully she's flattered.
Well.
But she does young. But yeah, definitely that's where she gets the stamina and
that's hard
and the
work.
Hard work for
well,
sure.
Well, you too. What you guys do. But it's just... I couldn't do it. It takes a lot. But
no, I say I don't do. That's why I do the design. I don't do the heavy lifting. So
no,
she's
but around
doing
your
the
house,
design.
Maybe you do
a little
right?
bit. But she's doing the design and all the heavy lifting. So
yeah.
I definitely admire her, and I think it's such a unique option for brides and
yeah.
for people looking for unique things. So
well, if I
so
ever close the radio station down, I know what I'm going to do with these rooms. Start growing,
growing
like her
seeds.
Bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah, seeds.
Yes.
Yeah. And pot will be legal soon. So, you know.
We'll have to see about
yeah.
that. So anyway, well, I want to thank our listeners. I know we did mention about the weather. It's not super cooperating, but people have been out in their gardens.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you've done a nice little cleanup.
Yeah.
And I need to go out and cut back those specific limelight hydrangeas or they're going to be taller than the house this year.
Wow.
So I have to give them a good hard pruning. As people can tell from my voice, been a little under the weather, so I have not ventured out. But that's on my list. And the time will be here soon, but now is time for planning. I know I've done a recent blog post on, since we can't get out and do too much, if you're thinking about doing something kind of creative and different this year in your outdoor containers,
mm-hmm.
Check out my blog at downtoearth.ca/blog. I did a good blog post about some, just shows you some creative photos
right.
of different containers and
yeah.
things that you can be out there looking for now and then coming up with the ideas for plants to put them in, that type of thing. Succulents are still big, big, big.
Yeah.
And lots of neat ideas. I really enjoyed putting that together. So I hope our listeners will have a chance to take a look. So
very nice.
I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Next week, we are talking about monarch butterflies.
Oh, cool.
So I'm excited to talk about those. And they're also so much in the media right now. And we will be back next week. Thank you for joining us here on Reality Radio 101 for Down the Garden Path. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.